listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom.
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, to issue 86 of Geek Watch 1. And we had our Welcome to the 2017 show last week. So this week, you actually get your first quarter movies.
Yeah, we're hitting the ground running and had a show chocked full of cinematic goodness for all.
That's right. And we're not the only ones hitting the ground running because there's some big movies they put in the first quarter this time.
Yeah, they're not shying away. Usually they kind of try to phone it in with the first quarter movies. They're not doing it this time around.
So, but before we get into that, what have you guys been doing this week?
Fighting sickness.
Oh no, not again! Yeah. I'm glad we're Skyping this one in.
Exactly.
That's the main reason we wanted to.
Yeah, because I was I'm actually end of it now and.
I'm right in the middle of it.
Don's right in the middle of it. It was, I felt like that. There were times where I felt like Don must have hit me with a baseball bat all night because I would wake up so sore.
Why is it my fault?
I don't know. I just be
all the dogs or something. Don't go for domestic abuse. Jeez.
Well, the dogs wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I don't know.
Jeez. Thanks for making me feel better.
Well, either you use one of those rolling pins like they use for massage to try and like...
Did I hit you with it?
No, to try and massage me. I don't know.
Whatever.
So yeah.
Yeah, but so like I didn't mean... Actually, we're pretty sure where it came from. And so it just kind of hung around. But yeah, you know, so I prided myself on rarely getting sick. I figured I'd shake it off, but
this winter, because of the weather being in the middle the whole so far, everything's been right around freezing, just above, just below. It's thrown everybody off, and I'm still not 100% recovered from back what I had in November.
Mm-mm. No,
you can't heal up because by the time you warm up, everything warms up and the bugs start coming back out, all the viruses, and then it drops down to cold again. This is terrible. Make up your mind.
That's our exciting week.
Terrible.
So
yeah.
Then I actually have to take work off tomorrow. Vicky has to have a procedure done.
Oh.
So I'll tell you more about that later. But other than that, what do we do this week, Vicky? A lot of getting. We've got
several parties back to back.
Yeah, we have all of our family Christmas stuff was this weekend since everybody was out of town on in Texas for Christmas. So we've been all week making sure we had everything together, wrapping all the gifts, all the stuff that everybody else does right before Christmas, we've been doing this week. So we were able to relax during Christmas.
Right.
I didn't even have to buy anything until January. So I got all the after Christmas sales.
There you go.
So, but we actually, real quick, I want to hit on, remember, Geeksters, if you want to come out and say hi to us, you can check us out. There's like four different things we're going to be at in the next 3 months, since we're talking about the first quarter anyway. We have, first up, and actually wrote down some of the details of some of this stuff this time, so I don't have to look it up while we're going. We got, I think the first thing on our agenda is the Groundhog Day Gaming Retreat, January 27th through the 29th at the Clarion Inn in Hudson. If you go to facebook.com/GHDGaming, it'll give you all the details about that. I know Vicky and I will be there. Kylan, you said you're going to try to get up there if you can, depending on work. I'll make sure they got badges for you guys so that if you're ready, we'll make sure that you can get in and everything else. It's going to be a great time. Always is. Drew puts on a great show. I know our friends from Dice Squad are going to be there with us also.
Cool.
So the next one up is actually one you guys are going to, Reading Fest.
I'd say the next one up would be that same weekend because that Monday is when we're back at the Malted Meatball.
Oh, yes. I figured I'd miss something on the schedule.
Yeah.
We have our 2-year pot of anniversary Meeplecast on January 23rd or 20th. Exactly.
It's one of those days.
Let's back that up. Put it in reverse. January 30th at the Malted Meeple in Hudson, Ohio. Remember, come on out, hang out with us, have some cake, and just hang out and have good milkshakes. Come in early, do some gaming.
Popping bottles of Chris.
Okay.
No. We're only two. We got like 19 more years before we can get to that.
You can still pop bottles
of
Chris.
You can pop bottles of Chris anytime, really.
Yeah.
You just can't afford it anytime. Yeah.
Well.
You just can't afford it. Popping bottles of Chris. Rolling down the streets in our 6.4s. And,
okay, moving on.
We'll just stick with the butterbeer because that's all we can't afford.
Yeah.
Butterbeer.
Yeah, they have butterbeer there. The Harry Potter butterbeer.
Much prefer the milkshakes.
Well, me too. I'm not a fan of butterscotch.
Yeah, but it's something different.
Yeah. But then the next one up is actually the one you guys are going to, the Family Reading Festival.
Yes.
Yes, at the Akron Main Library on February 4th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's all like the big pro-literacy family festival, stuff for kids to do, families to do, craft stuff, and the Rubber City Book Posse will be there giving away hundreds and hundreds of books to whoever wants them.
Oh, yeah. And it
all
says,
free.
I was looking for info on their website, and all it says is that it's happening. And the only thing they have listed under it is, who is Jim Gill? It says Jim Gill once again headlined the event.
Jim Gill is this apparently really popular local children's artist. He's a singer. He gets on in the auditorium, and he sings a bunch of songs for the kids. He has a guitar and all that kind of stuff, and I don't know. He's there every year, and he's apparently really popular, but that's the only place I've ever heard of him.
Yeah, but
not,
I mean, the kids love him.
Anything, but, you know, he may be really big in the, you know, in the under five crowd. I don't know. That's who he is, though. He's a popular kids artist.
Okay, well, that they said also the other entertainment guest that they have here is the Miller South Show Choir, which actually is the performing arts high school for elementary and middle school for Akron.
Right.
Their show choir is going to be there also.
Right.
Yeah, they often have at least one or two groups of kids, either choirs or dancers or something like that. And then they have various mascots from local places, too, that show up. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. We got to talk Andy and have Andy talk to them about having the eyeball walk around a little bit.
That would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because then we can give out some flyers for the May show. But
that's true.
The next one we have for us is back to Oddball Expedition Elsewhere, Dreamworlds Con. February 11th and 12th down in Canton, Ohio. We're back at the Canton Cultural Arts Center. I love that place. That is an amazing place to have a show.
It is.
Now, did you guys get a chance to walk through the museum when we were down there in December?
Yeah, we did. We walked through the whole place.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We didn't get a chance to go through the Dreamworlds exhibit. But looking in, just seeing those two mannequins that are right inside the door that look so realistic. It looks like someone's actually doing a mannequin challenge all day.
Right.
And they're kind of creepy looking, too.
Right.
So
it's a very cool place, though.
Let me see. Andy had a couple things on there. I know he has listed on. I'm looking at his website here. Ask Lovecraft is coming back. Gandersnitch is bringing back the Gablonian National Volunteer Orchestra, and he's having his Valentine's Day show where the one lucky couple will actually win an evening of entertainment with Gandersnitch the Goblin.
You know, we witnessed that. That's
a question of whether you're actually winning or losing at that point.
It's like Gander. I have to admit, we had the pleasure of sitting next to the table that had Gander that won the dinner with Gandersnitch. I really don't know what to say. I just really.
But you know, it's something different. So. Yes.
See, it's not that bad for us if we're going out with Gandersnitch because we're friends with Gandersnitch already.
Right.
So it's like we have something
to talk.
We
know what to expect.
Exactly.
Let's just say you're not getting exactly a romantic dinner if you're going out with
Gandersnitch. No, you put a goblin in a sushi bar.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
We did.
What?
This we did last year.
Oh, that's what you did?
We all went to Katana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what would be fun? We got to get him to take them to Hibachi Place.
He was talking how hard it was to try to eat rice with his nose sticking out.
That's dangerous. Yeah. With his nose, a Hibachi Place is just very dangerous.
That's dangerous, yeah.
Oh! No Hibachi.
Oh, could you imagine the look on the chef's face when he walks out and sees Anderson sitting at the table? Because a lot of the guys, I don't know if they're putting on it for the show or not, but a lot of them seem like they can barely speak English.
Right.
They see a goblin sitting at the table.
Yeah, that would not be good.
Yeah, no.
That would be hilarious.
You know they do. They're American. Oh, yeah. I don't care what the stupid hick next to you says.
Yeah. Well, the last one we got on the list right now is, this one is still tentative. I'm going to push the show anyway because they're friends of ours from Barfleet run this. The Cleveland Concoction, March 12th, or 10th through the 12th at the Cleveland Airport Sheraton. Mm-hmm. We've been to the last two shows? Mm-hmm. And it's a great show. This one here, where most of your gaming cons are fantasy-based, this one is a sci-fi gaming and comics convention.
I got trouble with but the last one.
This year's has actually got a fantasy theme, so it's going to be interesting to see how they do with that. What'd you get in trouble for last time?
You had the planning room because Half-Life had that like wall of material.
Oh, yeah. Half-Life sets up a huge charity like store in the registration office, and they had bolts and bolts of just scrap fabrics.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was vintage.
Yeah. A bunch of old stuff. So our friend Jesse Cook and Vicky were there for like 20 minutes or a half hour looking through all this stuff.
Multiple times.
But that's great. They have, let me see real quick, the guests they have on the list, see if there's any big names, because they usually bring in a couple of celebrity guests too for this, sci-fi celebrity guests. I'm not seeing, they don't have any celebrity guests actually listed on this one this time. Wow. Okay.
They typically, though, they're kind of like, just a smaller version of an average a con, though, because they have the gaming stuff. They also have a vendor room. They have an author area. They have some entertainment.
To be fair, they have a vendor closet.
Yeah, it's not big, but, you know.
they have all the vendors you'll have at a regular show, just not as much space to put them in.
Yeah,
right,
it's a little cramped. It's a little cramped.
I think they are ready for a larger venue.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
they need a more central venue. Being at the airport is kind of crap to get to for basically wherever you are in the area.
Well, it's great if once they get big enough that people are coming in from out of town to go to the show more than what they do now. That's a great location because you get out of the airport, walk across the street, and you're at your hotel.
Yeah, but based on the numbers you'd get, it doesn't make sense. Like, you wouldn't get that many people come flying in for it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but that's the shows we got coming up. For us. See, I even had all information written down and stuff. This is amazing.
That is pretty amazing.
So, hey, I did my homework this morning.
This morning, yeah.
And made breakfast.
That's right. So, what do we have what's been happening in the world of Geekdom News this week at all? Anything special?
I just had a couple things. One of them was for 2016, Disney set a new record at the domestic box office.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was kind of big news because basically from January 1st through December 31st, Disney as a whole, that includes everything that they now own, grossed $3 billion at U.S. box office receipts and an additional $4.6 billion internationally, making it the first studio to break the $7 billion global mark.
That is crazy.
That is huge. I mean, and if you think about all the big movies last year, yeah, they were pretty much all owned by Disney. Uh-huh. So yeah, I just thought the funny thing is, like, Disney had some bad movies last year. Like the latest Alice movie didn't do that well. BFG didn't do that well. Pete's Dragon didn't do that well. I mean, they made a bit of money, but not overall.
I don't think they lost money on anything.
No, they didn't lose money on anything, but they didn't do as great as they would have hoped.
Yeah.
But then you take in, you know, you've got the Marvel movies, you've got Finding Dory, you've got Rogue One. That just kind of made everything. So. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Rogue One, I checked it this weekend, or actually I just brought it up now. Rogue One right now is $75 million away from breaking $1 billion worldwide.
Nope. Not surprising.
Now, it's got the long way to go to get anywhere near The Force Awakens, because The Force Awakens broke just over $2 billion.
Right. But it does put it in the second place for the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, so. It's the second highest grossing Star Wars movie worldwide ever.
Mm-hmm.
So
It would be interesting to see numbers if they like translated everything to like today's dollars.
Yeah. They need to adjust for inflation one way or the other. Yeah.
And, you know, ticket prices and stuff like that. That would be the interesting translation to make.
Yeah. When you're making, we're talking to billions of dollars, you got to think a lot of that is your 3D upcharges and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So actually would be cool is if they translated this down to just straight number of tickets sold.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but that's not what that would be the real comparison.
That's not what the shareholders and stuff want to see. They just want to see how much cash they're going to get on their next statement.
Well, of course, of course.
I mean, at that level, it's all about the bottom line, yeah. Unfortunately. That's right. But
well, that's one of the problems. Vernon and I were talking yesterday about this new Batman movie with Ben Affleck maybe having some problems. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck may be stepping away from the director's seat.
Oh, yeah. He said if it's not going to be all that, he's stepping off.
Well, part of it, put together a couple things that have happened in the last couple weeks, you get the whole story, really. Because a couple of weeks ago, he had mentioned that, one, like you said there, he's already said he does not want to be attached at all to a bad Batman movie.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. As part of that, he said, if he's directing this, he is not going to be beholden to what the studio says, this movie has to be out at this time. He does not want a release date until they're actually in production of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be able to take time, develop a movie, a good movie, the way it should be developed, and be ready to go before they actually go in front of cameras. And we know Warner Brothers or any of these big studios with a tentpole movie like this, that's not the way they work.
Right.
They're like, well, this is when it's coming out. You have to make it work for that. And if when you get stuff like that, you get things like Suicide Squad, which could have used – it was a good movie, but it could have been better. You get in a bunch of other movies that have been out.
But yeah, if Suicide Squad, if they would have focused more on the story and actually developing the story and not how short and how naked Harley Quinn could be, then I think it would have been a great movie.
Yeah. So it's like, but yeah, if Warner Brothers will sit back and actually let him make a movie, I think we're going to get a fantastic Batman movie. But then,
and the thing is, at this point, Ben Affleck has that kind of power to make them wait on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's no matter what, he's going to be Batman in this movie. He's already on contract and everything else.
Well, he has no choice.
So, but whether or not he's going to direct. Now, one of the things I saw that is a possibility for someone else that might step in if he does decide to step out would be like Joss Whedon, I guess, has said he wouldn't mind doing a DC movie at some point.
That would be awesome. Think of the people he would kill.
Joss Whedon
takes out major characters.
Whedon kills... oh my god.
You know what?
I can't even
if it was
talk
Joss
about.
Whedon, if it was Joss Whedon, we'd get a Jason Todd Robin and we'd have the Death of the Family story.
That would be too much of a giveaway though, if they put Jason Todd in there and had Joss Whedon do it. It's like, come on, you'd know right away.
I mean they killed Jimmy in Bat Heart Soup.
Yeah, but I thought they didn't tell anybody that was Jimmy either.
That would have been the kind of thing that Whedon would have done.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, but that no one knew that was Jimmy.
I know. That's why you find out after the fact,
yeah.
And I'm just like, really? you just killed Jimmy and didn't even let anybody know it was Jimmy until after.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah.
So yeah, that was what I found. I mean, like I said, there's nothing confirmed and there's no hard thing either way about whether or not he's leaving or going. But this is some of the talks that are going on that's making their ways around. So what else did you have out there?
I actually had Deadpool news. Amazingly, it's become an awards contender. The movie has been nominated for a Writers Guild Award.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it got nominated for adapted screenplay because technically speaking, it's based on the X-Men comics. So it fits the category. And by being nominated for these awards, it's the precursor to other awards, and there's a potential that it could go up for an actual substantive Oscar, not just the usual costuming and effects sort of thing that superhero movies tend to get.
Yeah, but aren't the Oscar nominees already out?
No, they haven't been announced yet.
I thought they did that back in... They usually do that in December, but okay.
So the fact that like it's up against things like Arrival and Fences and Hidden Figures, it's not going to win. But...
Yeah.
Just the fact that they actually kind of opened their heads up for a little bit and decided, hey, we can actually nominate a superhero movie for this.
Yeah. Well, sci-fi itself has been nominated and has won Best Picture before, but it takes a lot of work to do it. Lord of the Rings, well, what was it? Return of the King got it. But that was basically...
more. It takes more a matter of being incredibly serious.
Yes.
Literary sci-fi. Because, you know, Lord of the Rings, literary. It was based on a book.
Well, that, and a lot of people, and I probably agree that what it is, they gave them that Oscar for the entire series, not just for that movie.
Exactly.
They said this was an epic masterpiece of how to make, do with films.
Yeah.
Now, you can only watch them once every 5 years because you're going to get old just watching them through once.
Because if you think about it, for the most part, most of us who are into the action movies and the superhero movies and stuff, we look at all the award shows and, like, we haven't seen most of the Best Picture nominees or Best Actor or, you know, all, we haven't seen those movies because they're all the dramas and they're the foreign films and they're, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But if they, you know, we're always rooting for the best costume categories and stuff like that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's the one time we ever see our movies in them.
Exactly. So it would be nice to actually put the most popular movies into these categories for a change.
Well, it'll be it'll be interesting to see because I'm thinking the way they're going with Star Wars, one of these movies is going to end up in there for a best actor or actual for best film. If I remember right, one of the prequels was nominated for best film.
I think there was one, yeah.
But and if one of them wins, it'll be basically looked at the same way that Lord of the Rings was. That they're gonna give him an Oscar for Best Picture because of the entire history of the franchise.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, but that's interesting that the Writers Guild is doing that.
I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of, even though it's under adapted screenplay, it was something written completely from scratch, because it's not like it's a storyline that's specifically been in one of the runs of comics, but just the fact that it was based on a run of comics, it's considered adapted. But I just thought that was cool that it finally got in there.
That's the way most of the comic book movies have been. They take elements from different parts of the comics and then make a movie out of it. So what else we got on today's news list?
And that's all I've got for now.
That's all you got?
I have something. Yeah, there was some news on the Black Panther front.
Okay.
Actually, they've added Sterling K. Brown to the cast. He won an Emmy for and a Golden Globe. He was nominated for a Golden Globe in The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Okay.
So he's actually been confirmed to play the role of Njobu, who is a figure from T'Challa's past.
This is what he's more recognized from. Supernatural. He played Gordon, who when he first showed up was a complete dick about killing vampires.
Oh, yeah! I thought he looked familiar. Oh, yeah, he refused. Yes!
Yeah, there you go. That's who he is.
See, there's a lot of actors that I look at, and it's like, I know that guy. And then you bring up his IMDb, and it shows some of the movies they've been in. It's like, I don't know, no. And then you flip and look through the full list, and it's like, oh, there it is. He was in Supernatural, or he was in Smallville.
That was me.
I think he was in like 4 or 5 actual episodes of Supernatural over time.
Right. Yeah.
But the first time he showed up, he wanted to just kill all the vampires.
Oh, that's right.
Even though there were some good ones and stuff. Like, anyway, yeah.
That was me from Doctor Who.
What?
Me.
Which character?
Me. Shilda.
Oh, Shilda, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maisie Williams was like that on we just finished this week, finally finished season 9 of Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
You see Maisie Williams on that is like, where do I know her from? I've never seen Game of Thrones, so it's like I think I just knew the name.
Yeah.
So
you've probably seen pictures of her.
Well, she's got, I think, one or two movies in this first quarter that's coming up. One, I don't think they're actually on our list, but she's in a couple movies that are coming up this first quarter.
Right. Yeah, so along with pretty much a who's who of talent in Hollywood, Black Panther is shaping up to be probably one of the MCU's like biggest collection of heavy hitters for a single superhero movie.
Well,
yeah, it has a lot of names.
Yeah,
at this point, you could almost say it looks like it's going to possibly be a sleeper. But then again, you can't say that because of what they've done with Ant-Man, with Guardians, and some of these other ones. There is no sleepers for Marvel anymore. You can't one might be the mistake.
I think just based on his popularity from Civil War, there's no way you'd call Black Panther a sleeper anyway.
No. Honestly, here's the funny thing, is that Black Panther is one of those characters that the general populace doesn't talk about, but everybody knows about.
Yeah.
It's funny because people know who Black Panther is And these are the same people that, outside of Batman, Superman, and Captain America, they think they don't know any other superheroes. Mm-hmm. Until you mention Black Panther, and then they go, oh, yeah!
I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's weird because Black Panther is one of those characters that didn't get a lot of presence in the animated world.
Yeah.
Until recently. But he's one of the original Avengers. He's been around a long time. And... You know, when they came out that he was going to be in Civil War, there was so much excitement about that. I think that, you know, based on the talent, or at least who we see the casting choices for Black Panther, it's one of those things that I would be surprised. I mean, you almost expect a certain level of performance from the Marvel movies. And I would be surprised if this doesn't just automatically exceed.
Okay.
You know, this is going to... Well,
the thing is now, Marvel movies, based on their popularity and their quality, they're now getting better actors.
Yeah.
Because they know that if they do this movie, it's not going to be looked down upon as a comic book movie. It's not going to affect their career in a negative way.
Right.
Well, so also... they're
getting bigger names like that.
The way residuals and checks in Hollywood work, you can work one Marvel movie and then do whatever movies you want for the rest of your life and make it all tank, and you're still going to be making money off that original Marvel movie you did.
Exactly.
It used to be you'd make one really huge bit. Well, you can see this with what's his name? He works with Seth Rogen and all those guys all the time. James Franco. You make the big budget big money movie, then you can make a bunch of junk for a little bit, and then you make another big budget, big money movie, then you make a couple of little independent little things with your friends.
Right.
It used to be that actors would do that all the time. They're not having to do that as much because the big tentpole movies are paying paychecks now.
Yes. Well, so. I mean, like it says here, like, Scott Adkins, who is a pretty big name in the action world, although a lot of the action movies now go, I don't guess they have anything, the equivalent of straight to video. That's where a lot of his stuff goes.
Yeah.
But he was one of the...
Oh, I got an idea.
He was one of the stooges in Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And this guy is going to be getting paid because of his bit part in Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's going to be getting paid on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know?
All the little ones down.
Yeah, so...
Talking about little action movies going to DVD, did you see Roger Corman has Death Race 2050 coming out on the 17th?
Yep.
Did you see the trailer for that thing?
I have, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, though.
The trailer looks hilarious. I mean, it is a grindhouse, terrible, terrible C-list movie, but it looks hilarious.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot of viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, Vicky had a couple of TV news that she saw this week.
CW is looking to reboot Charm, but going back to the 1970s, and Cloak and Dagger is slated to start filming next month in Louisiana with a $42 million budget.
That is huge. That's, the first one, it's interesting that they're bringing back Charmed.
Well, there were been rumors of that for about the last year and a half.
Okay.
Right.
And it was only a little closer to confirmed over the past week, but
okay.
I know a lot of people aren't happy about, a lot of fans aren't happy about it.
Yeah, well, that's one that kind of flew under my, I knew that it was always there, and I may have seen one episode at one point, but when that came in for me, it was already in the middle of Buffy, so I was already watching Buffy all the time, and Angel I was getting a little bit, but there was so much other stuff going on that I didn't get a chance to actually get into Charmed at all.
I managed to watch the entire series, but that was because as I was getting ready for work in the morning.
Yeah, but it was in syndication already.
Yeah, it was in syndication at that point.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't say that I'm a hardcore Charmed fan, but looking at how that was such a complete story, and it's continuing in the comics now, but...
Yeah, but they're putting it an earlier time
so,
on it.
So, yeah. I don't know. You know, I like when they...
a different cast and everything.
I did like... They would see... You would see things in cycles. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it'd be... 70s would be interesting. You know, you get... Let's bring back some polyester and leisure suit.
Get the parents of the girls that are on it, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the other one, Cloak and Dagger, it's cool that they're actually going to start filming the actual show, but a $42 million budget for the first season, that's huge for a first season of a show, especially for Freeform.
But considering the nature of the show, there's a lot of effects they need for it.
Yeah, that's where you're going to need most of that money. So,
it's going to have like unknown actors and everything, but all the money will be in the effects, which is kind of what you need.
But like you said, that's what they need, and that tells me that though, Freeform, ABC, and Marvel are actually banking on this being a good show. They're not just thinking, "Well, it's Marvel; we're going to just put it out there and it'll work."
I
know you got your reservations about Freeform in general. We've talked about that.
See, the whole thing is, we know what the basis of Freeform is, but they're basically taking the Marvel property in a different direction for youth. It's obviously going to be a Romeo and Juliet story because that's what the comic really is.
Yeah.
But I don't think Freeform is as bad as CW.
Yeah, well, they're not as bad as CW was at the beginning. CW.
Yeah, but see, the thing is,
CW still does that now.
The story behind.
But, I mean, Freeform is based on a channel that's always been meant for teenagers.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Well, see, the thing is, okay, like, we were talking about this on my Marvel Geeks, and the thing is, the heart of the story behind Cloak and Dagger is pretty much getting swept away, and so we're like, well, we understand why they made the decisions that they made, and why they're putting this story out there, and we understand that to a certain degree, and I honestly do wish success. But at the same time, I would encourage people, if you get an opportunity, don't just watch the story. Just don't watch the show. There's a great story behind it, and you're going to be missing so much if you don't get that basis.
Yeah.
You know?
We're not going to know how it's going to be until it's actually out anyways.
Yeah. We never know what the finished product's going to look like at this point anyway.
Yeah, but you can tell based on the network it's going with what direction they're going to go.
There's a couple of themes
in the comic itself that we're pretty sure they're not going to really address on the show.
Well, some of that is things that they really can't address on a regular. This is technically is a network show,
right? Yeah. So
there's some things they're not going to tackle because the networks just are not going to tackle that,
right? And so that's like we said, because at the heart of the comic, there's a different story going on there, but that's okay because at least this story is going to be getting out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now Marvel, dipped their toes in the water and introduced Cloak and Dagger on Ultimate Spider-Man. So they were obviously well received, and so people are familiar to a certain degree with those characters. Now I'm thinking the non comic reading public are somewhat familiar, at least a little bit.
No,
you don't think so?
I don't know them at all.
Well, maybe that's a good way to get them into comics.
Exactly.
Non comic readers don't know who these people are at all.
Yeah, I had not even heard of Cloak and Dagger until they announced that the series was going.
Yeah,
and I am a comic reader. I'm just not a Marvel reader.
Well. The short story is...
Yeah, I know that. We've talked about it, what the story was.
Oh, yeah,
it works.
Okay. Yeah, so it's...
And we'll probably cover it when the show starts up, too, so...
Yeah, it's...
Well, maybe if anyone ends up watching it, because, we probably...
Yeah, I'm not... I don't see myself watching
it. Stay away from the kiddie channels, mostly.
I don't think we're going to be discussing it on MMG.
No. Yeah.
You know, unless all of a sudden it gets, like... super good ratings, and we'll read the story about that, but that'd be it.
Well, we got one.
Shadowhunters is very similar to the books. They've, like, the first season, they've kind of took stuff out of the first three books. And granted, there is a big love story in it, but it's also about, the girl who is strong. I mean, it's actually, it's more about the girl and the fighting than it is about between Magnus and Alec.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not all about love, because I think CW... has pushed that most of their shows. It's all about the romance. They've do it in Arrow. Right. They've done it every single one.
At least the CW is adult shows, though.
Yeah. So, actually, there's some breaking news that Vicky just popped up on her Facebook feed.
About 27 minutes ago.
About 27 minutes ago. Looks like Constantine is going to be... Well, hang on. Let me... Yeah, yeah, ad was about to pop up. Constantine is coming to the CWC in animated form.
With Matt Ryan.
Right. With Matt Ryan as Constantine. Now, ooh. I don't know, is this a movie or is it a web series?
Are we animating Constantine?
Yeah, it looks like the way this is said, it says executive producer Greg Berlanti with David Goyer is going to be making a new, they're basically continuing the series on the CW Seed as animated.
Right.
So it's going to be season two or whatever, however you want to put it, of Constantine that we had before.
Let's get more Constantine and just animate.
That's kind of cool.
Like Vixen.
Yeah. So
at least that's something. It's better than nothing, but
yeah,
you know.
they're keeping him alive. Everybody knew there's a reason they wanted Matt Ryan to keep doing this, and he wanted to keep doing
right.
it. So
right.
they found a way to do it. So, but let's get into some of these movies.
Yep.
Now there's a couple of, like I said, there's a couple of the honorable mentions that are not as geeky as the rest, but I thought they were cool. But the first one we have, January 6th already came by, and I had two movies on my list there for January 6th. I actually had three, but one's just an honorable mention because I like Jackie Chan. But because Jackie Chan actually has a new movie out in theaters and limited release that came out this week, The Railroad Tigers. But no, Hidden Figures, we've already talked about.
Yeah.
And Underworld Blood Wars, which I believe, Vicky, you said this is the last Underworld movie, or it's supposed to be. So they're finally wrapping up Underworld and Resident Evil this month.
Okay.
So then January 13th, what do you have on January 13th on your list, Dawn? Or did you have anything else for the 6th?
Nope.
Okay, what'd you have on the 13th?
Nothing.
See, I had down Monster Trucks. It's an alien movie from Nickelodeon. Have you seen the trailer for this?
The reason I don't have it on my list is because it's from Nickelodeon.
they can still make a good movie.
I've seen the trailer. It has MacGyver with a truck with a monster in it.
I know, it is hilarious. I almost fell off the couch
horrible.
Watching this thing.
You actually laughed? Oh my
yes,
God.
Yes, there was some great stuff in there. The other one is, because I know a bunch of people in it, and it's our stunt team did all the stunts, was The Bye-Bye Man, which was filmed all in Cleveland. It's a horror movie that comes out next week.
Yeah, that's the one that basically looks like it's another take on Candyman, because it's like, don't say his name three times.
Urban legend.
Yeah, it's all urban legends and stuff like that, just like all these other slashers like Candyman and all those were based. Yeah. Then January 20th, we actually have a couple of movies that are on my list here. We have XXX, Return of Xander Cage, which all your action movie fans are going to love. Love seeing Vin Diesel in an action movie is just money any way you put it.
Highland's looking forward to it.
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah. The other one
I'm sorry, but I saw the trailer, and I saw him put that ugly fur jacket on again, and I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, but that's the character from the first one. I've never seen the first movie, but that I knew that was who he was.
I've seen the first movie, unfortunately, okay? And I suffered through that first movie, and no, I'm not. Yeah, Kylan's going to see this on his own.
You know what?
We'll go see it with you, Kylan.
Thank you. That soundtrack is my workout jam. The entire soundtrack.
I didn't say there's anything wrong with the music. We'll talk about the movie.
Well, a couple other ones I had for. What else do you have for January 20th on your list?
I have the only other one I have is Split.
Okay, that's on mine too.
It's the latest M. Night Shyamalan, which is going to do very badly. And, because he's basing the whole thing on a guy with split personalities. So he's essentially basing a horror movie on a mental disorder.
Yeah.
So that's always a bad thing. But it has, what's his face in it that plays
McAvoy.
James
McAvoy.
And I mean, it looks kind of creepy, but it really, it's like he's got all these personalities, but there's one that has not yet been released that's going to be released, and it's just...
Yeah, the trailer shows, like, what, six or seven personalities?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's much of a twist involved, and it doesn't sound all that interesting.
Watch, it's just a set of triplets calls and issues.
Yeah, they're actually triplets or quadruplets that are actually there. There's your twist.
Yeah,
exactly.
Clones.
The other one I had was a lot of geeks out there are Studio Ghibli fans, and the next Studio Ghibli release comes out on January 20th. That's The Red Turtle, which is interesting. It's a French anime movie with no dialogue in the entire movie.
Cool.
So,
I want to see that.
Yeah, watching the trailer, it looks interesting. It may be something I'll wait for DVD to see it, but it looks cool. The other one is just being a WWE fan, and it has an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tie-in, is Resurrection of Gavin Stone. It's actually, this is Shawn Michaels' movie from WWE Pictures, but the star is Brett Dalton from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Ward is in this.
Okay.
So
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be like a 1-week release and then straight to DVD after that.
Yeah. It doesn't sound, it's not really a geek movie, is basically what we're saying.
It's a, but like I said, I put it because it's a pro wrestling movie and I'm a pro wrestling fan. But, and it's not even really a pro wrestling movie, it just has Shawn Michaels in it. But the next one up is January 27th. This is one people have been waiting for a year or two already, was the final chapter of the Resident Evil series, actually called Resident Evil The Final Chapter.
It took a while because they had a lot of...
In case it wasn't that clear.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Vicky was saying it took them a long time to make this movie because there was, you said, some accidents
that guy slowed it down? Guy got crushed on set and a woman, like, lost half her body on it.
Weren't they also waiting because Ali Larder and Mila Jovovich were both having babies or something? So they had to wait till they were done with that?
Yep.
So that put it on hold.
But reading the synopsis on this, they're actually bringing it full circle and going back to the original Hive from the first Resident Evil movie to finish this up.
Cool.
So, did you have anything else in January?
Nope.
Okay, February has, I only got a couple movies in here, but on the 3rd, I didn't realize the space between us actually got bumped back to February.
Yeah.
So someone got smart, looked at the release date, and said, wait a minute, we're not going up against Rogue One.
Exactly. There were actually a few movies, there were probably 10 or 12 movies that were supposed to be released in 2016 that got bumped to earlier, later 2017.
And I'll bet you a lot of that was because they realized the juggernaut that that Rogue One would be in the last couple weeks of the season.
Well, and it wasn't just Rogue One. These were from the fall as well when Doctor Strange and everything was coming out. Yep.
Yeah, when these big tentpole movies like Doctor Strange and Rogue One and even the DC movies at this point on some of them, when they get announced, all of a sudden everybody shifts their dates everywhere else so they don't have to compete against that.
Well, yeah, you've got to look for a week when there's no other similar movies or no big names coming out, and that's why you go for the beginning of the year.
Then the February 10th, we actually have a big one that is a DC kind of DC Comics movie. It's a Lego movie, the Lego Batman movie.
Right.
This one is another one that looks funny. If it's anything, if it's even half as good as the Lego movie itself was, this will be cool.
Yeah, it's one to watch on DVD, I'd say. I mean, I watched the Lego movie and it was like, meh, okay.
I hadn't even seen it.
The Lego Batman.
If you want it, I have it, Kylan. February 17th is the next one I have. Or did you have anything else for the 3rd or the 10th?
No, 17th is when a bunch of them come out.
Yeah, well, I have two on here. I have The Great Wall with Matt Damon, which is interesting because Matt Damon's the only American actor in this. And I guess there was a lot of uproar about him even being in this at all.
Well, the main uproar is the fact that, especially with the promos and the trailers and that, it focuses a lot on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like the white man in this Chinese movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're trying to say it's not really focused on him. He's just one of the primary characters. But they kind of goofed up with all the trailers the way they made them.
Well, he's the one, marketing-wise, he's the one that they're banking on the American public going to see this movie because.
Right, right.
So.
I think, you know, probably international trailers and trailers like over in China and stuff are not really going to have him in it much.
Yeah.
But it's a fantasy movie, and if you haven't seen the trailer, you should definitely see it because it's totally unexpected what the Great Wall is actually protecting.
Yes. Yeah.
I like that take on it. That's an interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And the other one I have on my list is actually Patient Zero, which is a Matt Smith zombie movie without calling them zombies.
Well, it's a pandemic movie.
Yeah.
They're going with.
But the way they describe the character, all the infected, they call them the infected, but for me, reading the synopsis on this, it reminded me of like a World War Z type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're zombies without being called zombies, or actually the way... reading about his character, it reminded me of I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Or what was the Mega Strain? Is that? No. What was the original story?
Omega Man.
Yeah. That seems like this is just another take on the Omega Man story.
Yeah, basically.
But it is Matt Smith in a zombie movie.
Yeah, it could be interesting. It could actually draw some crowd because it's Matt Smith.
Exactly.
So, the other one I had for the 17th is A Cure for Wellness.
Okay, yeah, I saw that on there.
And it's one of those kind of weird, creepy movies. If you watch the trailer, there's a lot of mini trailers out for it. But basically, it's this young executive who's supposed to go retrieve a company CEO from this, like, idyllic wellness center.
Yeah.
And he gets there and, like, he can't get to him. And then no one's allowed to leave. And there's this whole thing about sanity, and they start giving him medications to make him well, but he's already well, and so it's a question of what they're actually doing to him. And it's just weird and creepy looking, and I might have to see it.
Yeah, when did we see the trailer for that? That was in front of Rogue One, wasn't it? Yeah, and it's just, like you said, it's just creepy. It's weird on it.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Oh, it was in front of Assassin's Creed. So, what else did you have for that week?
That's all I have for that week.
Okay. Yeah. And February 24th had nothing on the list that even interested me on it.
I have one thing from the 24th. It's limited release, and it got a lot of talk last year because it was from film festivals, and it's called The Girl with All the Gifts.
Okay.
It's basically a zombie movie. And it's set in a dystopian world where this seemingly normal, intelligent little girl lives in an underground bunker with other children. And they're part of an experimental unit that's being examined by scientists to find a cure for this infection that is wreaking havoc on the planet.
Okay.
But it's kind of a zombie movie without being a zombie movie. Mm-hmm. And it just... It got a lot of talk at various festivals, but apparently it's finally starting to get release on the 24th.
Wow. It seems like with that and Patient Zero, there's a lot in like World War Z and stuff. They're getting to realize that some people are actually getting tired of zombies. So they're still making zombie movies and trying everything they can to figure out a way to not call them zombies.
Well, the thing is, they're not always zombies, though. Like,
yeah.
They, you know, your traditional zombie is really supposed to come back from the dead. It's not supposed to be an illness. So they're taking it's kind of like they need a different name than zombie.
Yeah.
For them to look at when it's based on an illness. But these are the sort of movies that tend to come out in the winter because everyone's getting sick.
Yes.
And they're the best time to scare the hell out of people with whatever they're sick with.
Uh-huh. Now, actually, this is a good place because January, February is usually where the movies that I want to talk about a little bit are usually at. I'm not seeing any of the remember last year we found a couple little independent sci-fi stuff that they had slipped in there that wasn't on anybody's radar, like that Synchronicity that I found, or and it was actually March or April that Midnight Special came out last year. I'm not seeing any of that this year.
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Cuz some of those are your little treasures, or little gems that you don't realize it until all of a sudden I heard about this once, and check it out on Netflix type deal.
Yeah.
It's weird that none of those are coming out this year, or at least first quarter.
Not for the first quarter.
So, but getting into March is where you get we actually have some, what you could call tentpole big budget movies.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with March 3rd, with the movie people have been waiting for a long time, is Logan.
Right. If you don't know what this is by now, come on.
Well, this is the final chapter of the Wolverine story.
Well, the final chapter of Logan's Wolverine story, potentially the start of X-23's story, depending who that little girl is.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, in the trailer, using Johnny Cash in there was perfect for that trailer.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name now. If Hugh Jackman actually walks away from the role. Because I guess
now it's sketchy. He's saying he might not.
Here's the thing.
That's Daniel Craig did the same thing with Bond.
Right.
But Hugh Jackman loves playing Wolverine. Right. And I think that he never thought of the possibility of an old man Wolverine.
Yeah.
Or old man Logan story. And now that...
The thing is, this is the last movie, but it's not saying that he can't appear.
Right, exactly.
In X-Men movies or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So
that's the cool thing.
And I know that a certain Canadian is... trying to talk him into showing up in the second movie of his franchise that is currently in development right now. So I'm like, where he made a little comment or two about what they did for his contract at Fox.
It'd be cool that the way he's played this Wolverine character, you could actually... If you would bring once the X-Men catch up to current time now, because each of these movies they've done, they're moving forward a little bit in time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they could bring it up to current time, it would be interesting that you could see Hugh Jackman as an older, like, teacher Wolverine.
Right.
He's actually working at the school.
And with their talk of rebooting the whole X-Men thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've already done that.
Yeah, I know, but they're talking about doing it again.
Yeah,
they're talking about bringing in the New Mutants.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be so excited.
That would create a whole other element that could possibly have Wolverine in it again.
Yeah,
because I think that'd be awesome to have a whole batch of people who have no idea how to use their powers at all. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
the next one up is was that it for March 3rd?
No, because I have one that a lot of geeks love that we've been waiting for years. And it's not really a geek movie, but it's Trainspotting 2.
Ah, yes. I was debating whether or not to put that on the list because I wasn't sure. Because I've never seen the first one.
I don't know why it's such a big thing with geeks, but like so many I know love Trainspotting. And the fact that it's been so long and it's like, it's in time. It's like exactly what it's got the same cast, the same characters. It follows basically where they are now in their lives and follows along the sequel book. There was an actual sequel book, so it follows that. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Okay. Well, moving on to March 10th, we got the second movie in the Legendary Pictures' new kaiju series. This is Kong Skull Island. And this is supposed to be in the same world as Godzilla, I believe. Because we're getting King Kong versus Godzilla in 2020.
Yeah, I don't think they make it obvious that it's the same world necessarily, but that's the presumption because of the upcoming movie.
Yeah. Well, if anything, hopefully there'll be like a one-line drop about how these monsters are getting bigger and bigger or something like that. That's all you need to say that, hey, this isn't the same world. This happened a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the funny thing is, the Legendary, I believe, is also the same company who's doing the Pacific Rim movies.
Oh,
which are
okay.
Also giant kaiju and mech movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're just not in the same world. I just thought, think of Pacific Rim because I was seeing the news this week of people seeing John Boyega as one of the pilots.
Oh,
yeah, Pacific Rim 2. They released an image or something of him.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I liked Pacific Rim. It was fun. It wasn't the greatest movie ever made, but it was just a fun robots beating monsters movie.
It was a start I watched of it. That type.
Yeah.
I watched it because it had Idris Elba, and that was my only reason.
Well, anything else for the 10th?
Not for the 10th, no.
The next one is one that people have been flipping out about for a long time. There's been people, I've heard from watching the trailers that people are going one way or the other. This hits geekdom all the way around because it's your fantasy movie. It's a romantic movie. It's a Disney movie. We're finally getting Beauty and the Beast on the big screen and live action. And the trailers I've seen, for the nostalgia part of me, it looks fantastic.
It definitely captures the animated movie. Like, it looks dead on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't think that, just watch some of the little characters that are Cogsworth and Lumiere and Chip and all these other little characters there. If they get those guys right, they got the movie right.
That's right.
Because for me, the original movie, those guys made the movie for me a lot of times. You need that little bit of comic relief in there to move away from some of the more serious stuff that's happening.
Absolutely.
So this one's going to be beautiful. It looks like the soundtrack is almost the same. I mean, obviously it's new recordings, but I think there's only like one or two new songs in this.
Yeah, I think I have a feeling they added a new song or two so that they could get a song nomination at the Oscars.
Ah, okay.
Because you can't get nominated for just retreads of older songs. You have to have an original song.
No matter if they're good, really good songs or not.
Exactly. Exactly.
So the next week.
No, hold on.
Wait, what else you got for 17th?
The other thing we have on the 17th is definitely geek related. It's called the Belko Experiment.
Okay.
It's a little horror movie made by James Gunn, who we all know from Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's basically Office Space meets Battle Royale. People are stuck in their office, and they have to kill each other to get out.
Okay, now that sounds fun.
Exactly. So it's not going to be entirely serious, but apparently it's really bloody and nasty and gross, and it comes out on March 17th.
Just that from my office.
Yeah. Well, the three of you all work in offices, so you can understand what these people are going through.
That's right. So, it'll have everyone considering who they'll take out first if it happens.
That's right.
Oh, I gotta tell
Vicky's already got her list.
I gotta tell them about my new setup. They'll like that.
Yeah. So, but the next 2 weeks, I know there's two movies that I know are firm. This is where these movies are going. The other ones, I think we could talk about after those two. What do you think?
Right. Yeah. That
so
sounds good.
The two that we know are firm. These ones are happening on this date. Is March 24th. We're getting the Power Ranger movie, and this isn't going to be the 90s Power Ranger movie where it was basically just the TV series on the big screen. This is a big screen reinterpretation of Power Rangers, but it still looks close enough and feels similar to what I remember from the original.
Yeah, I mean, it's still...
It's got the heart of the Power Zach, Rangers is still there.
Still, yeah, it's still Jason, Zach, Billy, Trini, and Kim. So it's still the five originals.
I think Tommy's in there also.
Well...
They're not showing him yet, but I heard rumors that Tommy Oliver's supposed to possibly be in this somewhere.
Well, but Tommy wasn't an original Ranger.
Well, he was after the first season, yeah.
Yeah, he was evil, and he still has to go through the whole purification part. But so you still have the original five, and I like what they've done with the costumes. They've done a good job of making the property relevant without, at least from the looks of it, not making it too dark.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see this. Now, you know, I kind of started getting a taste for this about 2 years ago when somebody released a fan made version of a Power Rangers movie.
Yeah, the short that was 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, and I think that may have been what kind of got the ball rolling on it, because there was such a huge positive response to that.
Yeah.
I think they weren't sure if they wanted to actually do a full on reboot or do something along the lines of what they did with the first Power Rangers movie. And I'm glad that they're going with the reboot. Now the only question is, because the comic version is going with the TV version of Jason and the group, and the movie version is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, are they just going to allow that disconnect to continue? So that's going to be interesting to see that.
This is one that actually has had a lot of positive and negative buzz in both. Because if you remember last summer and last spring when they were putting out the pictures of some of the suits and stuff, people were railing against this, saying how terrible it looks and everything. But then it was one of those that I know I was one of the ones saying that let's wait till we see what this actually turns into.
Exactly. Because
what you see on a publicity photo is not color corrected. It's not in the universe that they're building this in. You don't know what it's going to actually look like. And now you look at the trailers, it's like, this looks amazing.
Exactly. I mean, you haven't even really seen what the Zords even look like yet.
Yeah, I saw they have a teaser of like they're in the fog or something.
Yeah.
Like, I've not actually seen the picture, but I guess I saw the headlines today.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see that.
And the last one that is confirmed that I know this is the day it's coming out is for March 31st. We're getting Scarlett Johansson and Ghost in the Shell, the live action version of an anime that's been around since at least the mid 90s, if not earlier.
Right.
It's one of the biggest anime movies of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one actually made a big drop on the US box office too for the anime movie.
Between that and Akira, I mean, those are really the two biggest.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, so obviously it took a long time to become live action. And they've, not surprisingly, they've had issues with, you know, the fact that they chose ScarJo for the main role. But from what I've seen, she seems to fit it. And it doesn't seem to have been a role that required someone to be Asian.
No.
So I think it looks decent so far.
Yeah, the trailers look amazing to me, but I remember I saw Ghost in the Shell, the movie originally, and I've seen maybe one or two episodes of the anime, but I don't remember much about the story.
Right.
So for me, I'm going into this almost pretty much fresh, so I can actually just say, hey, this looks like a good movie. Because it is a cyberpunk movie.
Yeah.
So maybe this will... we've seen that in the last couple of years. There was another cyberpunk movie I think came out last year. And we know we got Ready Player One coming, which is straight cyberpunk. Maybe we're going to slowly move into, if they do it slow enough, move into another renaissance of cyberpunk media.
Well, I mean, you've got the Blade Runner sequel coming out, too.
Oh, did you guys see the trailer for that? Or the teaser? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That just looks and feels perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but how many more movies did you have on your list that it was possibilities?
I just had the two that we're not sure on the dates of.
Okay. Well, I have three of them on mine as not on the list. Just one of them is not – it's a geeky movie for nostalgia purposes. I did not realize they were making a Chips movie. I grew up loving this show. If you were growing up a kid in the late 70s, early 80s, you loved this show. That's just the way it was. Everybody loved Chips.
I grew up loving Eric Estrada.
See? Everybody wanted to be Ponch and John riding on their motorcycle through the streets of L.A.
No, I didn't.
Well,
most people wanted to be.
That's right.
I wanted to be Starsky.
That's true. You wanted to be Starsky.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but it looks like, as of comingsoon.net has this movie as coming out on the 24th. IMDb, I think, had it for the 24th. Awesome. Also, but we don't have any trailers or anything out for this yet. So this one may be moving still.
That's why it's so surprising. But yeah, like you said, there's no trailers and there hasn't even been any kind of teaser for it or anything.
Yeah. The next one I have on the list is comingsoon.net had Life. Now this is right. Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds in a sci-fi thriller on the International Space Station. Now all the trailers say Memorial Day weekend, but right. Coming Soon has this as March 24th. And I know they have a couple trailers out. I watched both this morning. This looks like a good movie. I like a good realistic sci-fi almost, where like Europa. Remember the Europa Report? Have you guys seen that one?
Never saw it, no.
Well, it's that one's about actually a manned mission to Europa, the planet or the moon around Jupiter. But it's done in a way that's realistic sci-fi, where so it's using tech like if they were actually in a capsule that we would have built now.
Right.
So, but that's what
this is realistic in the sense of the setting, but really it's essentially another version of Alien.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this one here is in the near future, and it looks like they've in this movie they confirm the first time they've ever confirmed that there is life on Mars, and it's like a little organism thing that actually is smarter than they think it is and ends up taking over people and attacking and.
Yeah, so it's Alien.
Yeah, basically.
but it's not as dark. It looks nice and bright now.
Yeah,
it's an alien.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's an alien amoeba. If you look at if you see the trailer and see what it looks like to start with.
Yeah.
Well, then the last one on the list is I'm not sure when the, like I said, comingsoon.net doesn't have this one, but IMDb had this one. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, with Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy as King Arthur. And
yeah,
this looks like
a trailer for, when did we see a trailer for this? We saw a trailer for this one.
I think it was November or something they dropped the first trailer. And it looks like a straight sword and sorcery, almost an Excalibur feel to it, because it's all gritty dirty. And
it was either Doctor Strange or Rogue One.
I think it was
One.
Before Doctor Strange we saw a trailer for it. Okay. So it's been a while, and it almost seems like it would fit coming out in March, but there was never any date with it.
Yeah, and like I said, some sites have it at this date, some sites may have it a different date, I don't know. Yeah. There was a couple coming soon had that were coming out, so like, I thought those were already out. What it was... Coming Soon had them because they had been limited release at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then their full release was January because a lot of movies, they rush to get out. They have to have it out before the end of the year in order to get into a lot of the awards things.
Yep, exactly.
So you may have 10 theaters that run it in December that still qualifies it for the end of the year.
Well, even the one that just came out, Hidden Figures, it was technically limited release at the end of last year so that it could get into this year's awards races.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know there was at least two more on here that didn't make my list, but I was wondering whether or not one of them was John Wick 2 comes out. I'm not sure the date. I think it's March, but I know a lot of geeks are into that one because they like the series. They like Keanu Reeves as John Wick.
I heard the first one was good. I haven't seen it yet.
What do you think, Kylan? I know you've seen it.
No, I haven't. Actually, I promised Dawn that I would watch it with her.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe we can do it this afternoon. Maybe.
It's possible.
So.
And then the other one
because it's on my list because I like watching Keanu Reeves kick butt. So yeah.
The other one that I debated, but it really wasn't a geeky movie at all. But we have two or three minutes here, real quick. Was Ben Affleck's new that new gangster movie he's in?
I'm looking forward to that one.
Half a second, I'll tell you what it is.
Oh, the one that's in like the 20s or something.
Yeah,
in the 30s.
Yeah.
Not day.
His life is.
No one remembers.
I got it right here. Where to go? Okay, maybe it's not in January.
It is in January.
It is? Oh, then it's already out. That's why I'm not seeing it. I went to release
Live by Night.
Yes, Live by Night. For me, this looks awesome. Because I'm not big on the modern gangster movies like Scarface and all those ones. I'm not. And Godfather and stuff like that. But I loved like the Untouchables, the Prohibition, the old ones, Al Capone and those type of guys. Those guys, now that was a fun gangster movie sometimes. A good noir history period piece.
Right.
That looks like this is exactly what this is if you look at the trailers. This is...
I just enjoy a good mob movie.
Yeah.
Although, like, I have to admit, British. If you want a good fun mob movie, you need to watch a British mob movie.
Well, for me, there's something about the like 3-piece suit and the fedora and stuff like that. The British mob movies are all running around in tracksuits. That doesn't scream mob to me.
Yeah, but at least for me, it's more about the action.
Yeah,
I don't feel like there's enough killing in the like the 30s and 40s movies.
They just haven't made that movie yet.
Apparently,
that's what it is. Those British guys that are making the British mob movies where everybody's running out of tracksuits killing everybody needs to make a 30s Chicago mob movie.
See, the thing is, for the Brits, that's their real mob. It's the guys running around in tracksuits. Those are their gangsters.
Right.
And most people who are not involved in that type of thing around here, when they think of mafia, they're thinking Godfather, Untouchables, that type of thing.
Right.
So that's the difference. That's one of the many differences between Britain and America.
Yeah, because we have the...
Although, I don't know. They get dressed up in Scarface. They're all nice and dressed up. Well, at least...
But that's an American mob movie.
If you want to look at the British ones, look at the Cray brothers.
Yeah.
Watch any movie with the Cray brothers. They were a set of twins who were in the mob, and they were deranged, and they were always suited up.
Yeah.
That's good. The one to watch.
Yeah.
So that's basically our movies that are coming out in the next quarter. There's actually, like I said, I'm surprised. This first quarter, they're not holding back this time.
No. Okay. No.
Well, they finally realized there are times during the movie year that there's no competition and you should put out your damn movie.
Exactly. it's sort of like what somebody said, usually people want to wait until the lottery gets up to $250 million before you decide that's when you're going to throw in. But, when the lottery starts out at $25 million, $25 million is still
$25 million.
Exactly.
And that's to say that just because it's January doesn't mean that people aren't going to be open. They'll probably be more open to seeing a good movie. Because, mm-hmm. People aren't really being social at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Well, sometimes January, February is the time you want to go see a movie. You just cuddle up in the theater underneath your coat and get nice and warm and watch a movie.
Right.
So, talking lottery, the one that gets me is the people that talk about how your odds go down the more people that play.
Yeah.
Wait. It's a numerical odd. The odds of hitting a certain number is the same no matter what.
Right, it is.
Now, your odds of other people winning also change.
Right.
And having to split it, but you got to think, the higher it goes up, the more people play, you got to split a whole lot bigger jackpot.
No, right. Exactly. It is the same probability. It's still... You have a higher probability of getting hit by lightning.
Well,
I love
it when History Channel or some of those other, or TLC and stuff, every once in a while would run one of those 5 years later after winning the lottery or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And see the people that are totally flat broke living in a trailer 5 years after winning like $25 million.
I still don't understand. How can you can be like, you win $250 million. And how
they're stupid with money.
They didn't know how to use their money to start with. So when they got that money, they just blew it all, not realizing that it's not always going to be there.
They trust all kinds of people and give them a whole bunch of money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They waste their money on all kinds of stuff that they get nothing tangible for. It goes away.
Yeah, no.
No, no, no. You win the lottery, you put that into bank and you just live off the interest.
You win the lottery, you disappear.
Well, tell anybody.
You don't let anyone contact you ever.
You just don't tell anybody you won. You just let that sit in the bank and live your life.
Right.
Change anything to make them know the difference.
But that actually, I think, brings us up to the end of this week.
That's right.
Yeah, another good show, guys.
Yeah.
So anything else before we wrap this up today? No, Vicky, anything from you?
No, if somebody can turn on the heat outside. That'd be nice. Just a little bit.
You don't
bit.
Like 6-degree weather?
It's 15 right now.
Oh, say, hey, they did turn on the heat. It's 15.
I'm sorry. I forgot. It's downright balmy out there. I'm going to go put on my shorts.
Yeah, we don't have...
For January...
It's not like we have the quarter inch of snow that brought Texas traffic to a standstill.
Yeah. Well, no, the best part is we're sitting here. We got, what, maybe 3/4 inch? My cousin is in North Carolina, and they were out, like, sledding and skiing and sledding in the middle of the road behind snow four-wheelers and stuff because they got more snow than we did.
They got, 4 or 6 inches.
There's loads of snow on the East Coast right now.
Well, yeah. two offices of where I work closed yesterday because of weather. And I'm just sitting there like, I remember growing up and, you know, that half inch of snow hit the ground and that was it. You knew that there was like, hold on, we don't see grass. You just wait, you watch the news, you knew it was going to happen. Oh, no school. All right. That's right.
Not even enough to sled right on, but you still don't have school.
That's what you get for growing up in the South.
That's right, boy. I tell you what. And I'd be like, a whole inch of snow? Man, that was just... leave me alone. Y'all don't understand, okay? A whole inch of snow. Man, that... Uh-huh. You took... When my mom told me... When I told my mom, I moved up here. And she's like... And then we had gotten a really bad storm or whatever. She goes, how much snow did you get? I'm like, I don't know. 6-8 inches. She goes, and you're still going to work? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, and my mom, I could hear my mom praying. Because, I 6 to 8 inches, that would just, you just move out of town at that point.
Well, no, you'd stay in town because you couldn't get out of your driveway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well,
you wouldn't be able to move.
No, you really wouldn't. I'm serious. One inch of snow.
To a standstill.
1 inch of snow shut it down. Just saying.
And then it's like we're talking about here, 6 to 8 inches is not bad. Then you get to places like Buffalo, who gets they measure that in 4 to 6 feet of snow.
Yeah, right now. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, yeah.
That's what happens when you're at the end of the lake and it's not froze over yet.
Mm-hmm.
Since that wraps us up, we're going to say thanks for listening, guys. Let us know. Hey, send us an email, geekwatch1@gmail.com. Let us know, what are you looking forward to for movies in the next quarter? Did we miss something that you were hoping that we talk about? Are we right on, or do we totally mess it up? Let us know. Either way, geekwatch1.
Anybody out there looking forward to Mr. Gaga? Let us know what you think. There says Mr. Gaga is going to be released. Hold on.
What's that?
Yeah, I don't know. Wait. You know
just
what?
Just looking at a list of movies.
I'm looking at a list. This is from the 9th. Where, no, is Mr. Gaga on the... No, on the 10th. We have Mr. Gaga on the 10th of
January. Is this from
January.
Vivid Entertainment?
No! Dude, no!
Whoa, he didn't even go there.
I was wondering what movie list are you looking at?
It's on IMDb. I'm looking on IMDb, looking at the different movies that are coming out. And we're talking about, maybe we miss one. I don't know. Maybe somebody
he's,
wants
he's
to see
He's naming random little movies he sees on IMDb.
And that named Mr. Gaga.
There was one big one that we didn't talk about for a kid's movie. Was, where'd it go?
Sing.
No, not, Sing's already out. It was at the end of March, last movie on the list. Have you seen the trailer for The Boss Baby?
No.
No.
That's not a geek movie.
This is basically someone took the idea of Stewie and made a movie out of it.
Not a geek movie.
It is. It's a boss. It's
Alec Baldwin playing this baby who's born and is basically an executive, but he's controlling all the babies.
He's pretending to be a baby. He's a mob boss.
Yeah. So.
That doesn't make it a geek. Just because it's animated doesn't make it a geek movie.
Well, if you're looking forward to Boss Baby, send us an email. Let us know.
Let us know so we can completely trash you, because I will.
Oh. Hey, if you look at the genre, it says comedy, animation, fantasy, and family. This is a fantasy movie.
Well, duh, because it's a talking baby.
So, you can also get a hold of us at all things GeekWatch1 or GeekWatch1.com on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything else, just find GeekWatch1. You can also find us on the Tangibound Network and the Weeby Geeks Networks. And then I think that's just about all for tonight. So for Miss Dawn and for Kylan and for Miss Vicky and for myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.